I'm having a goddamn blast on tour with this Big Mouth and a Small Town tour. So I've added some dates and wanted to let you know where I'm headed next. March 14th, I will be in Lakeside, Arizona. And then the 15th and 16th, I'm finally coming to Tucson. So if you're in Tucson, I'm coming to Laughs Comedy Cafe. Get your tickets. We're going to have a good time. My good friend Noah Kopfer will be featuring at those shows. He'll also be with me the following weekend when I come to Grand Rapids, Michigan. Dr. Grins, I cannot wait to see you guys again. Those are always some of my favorite shows, and I'm sure this year will be no exception. And then I am headed up to my home state of Alaska for the Alaska Before You Die Fest. Anchorage, you better not fucking sit on these tickets. They're going fast. There's a few left. April 5th, I will be doing shows at the Gumbo House. It's downtown. I'm doing an early and a late show, one night only. It's an intimate venue, so tickets are limited. It's going to be out of control. If you've come to my show at Coots before, you know how fun they are. This venue is so much better for comedy. I can't even explain it. Just get fucking tickets. These shows are going to be wild. And then on the 6th, I'm headed down to Homer, Alaska. I am coming, performing there for the first time. Alice's Champagne Palace. And then on the 7th, I will be in Seward, Alaska. So Anchorage, Homer, Seward, we're having a goddamn good time. I'm going to come kill it all those shows because I'm a fucking Alaskan assassin. Am I sorry I said that? I don't know. Listen, Dayton, Kentucky, 12th of April. If you are in the Cincinnati-ish area, Dayton, Ohio, Dayton, Kentucky, this is your chance to see me at a really cool new venue called the Commonwealth Sanctuary. And then I am headed to Portland, May 3rd. I'm headlining the Rip City Comedy Festival. I will be at McMenamin's Mission Theater. You guys, this is a cool theater. We want it to be packed out because of course I want it to be packed out. But also, like, let's have a goddamn good time in this nice, beautiful theater. So come to that. It's going to be a hell of a time. I can't wait to come back to Portland. And then Wisconsin, I'm headed back your way. But this time I'm coming to Janesville, May 17th and 18th. Green Bay on the 19th. And then what up, Florida? St. Pete, Tampa. I'm coming your way. Tampa, I will be there June 2nd. And St. Pete, they're ahead of that, May 31st. Tampa, I'm at Side Splitters. And if you go to the links in all of my bios or go to their website to get tickets, for a limited time, you can use the code JMS and get $5 off tickets. And wherever you are, I'm trying to get people to buy tickets early instead of waiting to the last minute and making me panic, so that if it is going to sell out, it sells out faster, so that I know that, the club knows that, maybe we can add a second show. It just FYI, that helps every artist that you're a fan of. So if you can ever buy ASAP, go ahead and do that. So that's your incentive to buy early in Tampa. And I'll be adding more dates soon. If you did not hear your town, but you want me to come there, head over to my Instagram, instagram.com/JMS Comedy, or just at JMS Comedy if you're using the app like most of us. Click the link in my bio, join my email list. That lets me know where you guys are so I know what areas want to come see me. So do that. I can't wait to get to more cities. I'm having so much fucking fun on the road. You guys have been amazing. People have been buying merch. These audiences have been out of control good, just electric, laughing, having a blast. And I know all these upcoming shows are going to be no exception. So I will see you there. JMScomedy.com/shows to get your tickets. Tell your friends. Tell your enemies. We're going to have a fucking good time either way. So thanks for listening to this little promo. Enjoy this episode. Ta-ta, idiots.
What you just said is one of the most insanely idiotic things I have ever heard.
What kind of ignorant shit is that?
At no point in your rambling, incoherent response were you even close to anything that could be considered a rational thought.
You idiot, you fool!
Hey, dummy!
This is the Ignorance is Blessed podcast.
Everyone in this room is now dumber for having listened to it.
Hey, idiots. Welcome back to Ignorance is Blessed, a podcast that attempts to overcome ignorance, mostly by asking ignorant questions, with me, JMS, Jessica Michelle Singleton. That's me. I'm your host. I'm allegedly a comedian, although I don't know if the world's ever coming back. I'm definitely an idiot, and that's why we're here, to get answers to all of our stupid questions.
So thank you for joining my idiocy. If you're new to the podcast, please subscribe, rate, and review it on iTunes. It helps. It helps other people find it, and then more of us can learn the answers to all our ignorant questions. Thank you to all the new reviews and subscribers that have come in, mostly subscribers. There haven't been a ton of new reviews, but I've gotten a couple in the past week or so, and I certainly appreciate it. If you have a second, which I know you do because we're all trapped inside, except for essential workers, so, you know, you don't count. I mean, you very much count, and I appreciate you, but, you know. Anyone with a second, literally the dog's groaning that I said that. She's like, why would you even say that? I don't know what the deal is with it. Like, literally, you guys can't hear the dog, and now I'm just telling you what's going on with the dog. If you have a second, type ignorance's hashtag blessed into your podcast app. Shoot me a review. It helps other people find it. I think I already said that, but it's just really helpful, and I'd appreciate it. Speaking of things I appreciate my patrons. Shout out to my best idiots forever, Gene and Kathy, high-level patrons on my Patreon. We're doing lots of cool stuff over there. Got to send out some postcards. I've got some in the back stock. I saved for a rainy day, and I wish it was rainy. It's super hot, but the point is I haven't traveled this month, so I'm sending out previous places I've been postcards. But nonetheless, they're going out. We've started weekly crappy hours, and you can be part of those. So just go over to patreon.com/ignoranceisblessed. Support your podcast. Whatever. I don't know. It's too hot. It just, if you have extra money for some fucking reason and you want to help me eat or pay my bills, just go to Patreon. Thank you to new patrons. There have been a few of you. I appreciate it. And you know what else I appreciate? NeuroGum, the sponsor of this podcast. It's the best, and I'm not just saying that because they sponsor the podcast. They actually started sponsoring me because I say that already. I like NeuroGum. It's gum that gives you energy. You chew on it, gives you fresh breath, but it's also got caffeine, B vitamins, and L-theanine, and all of that gives you energy, but it's a focused energy because of the B vitamins and the L-theanine. So it's like a non-cracky Adderall. You want to get stuff done, get through your day. Maybe you're still at an office. Maybe you're trying to get a creative project done now that you're not. NeuroGum. So head over to getneuro.com. That's GETNEURO.com and use the code JMS to get 15% off your first order. And if you do that, by the way, please hit me up and tell me what you think of it because I'm loving it. I want your feedback. I really think they're onto something and I want to build a community of friends who are jacked up on NeuroGum like I am. Yeah. And what else? Another way to get involved, we've got a Facebook group. Look up Ignorance's hashtag Blessed Idiots. A lot of silly memes going around in there. Lots of opportunity for conversations. You want to get into a chat with someone who maybe has a different viewpoint than you. It's a place to have adult conversations with, you know, people who agree or disagree with you so we can learn and grow and not feel afraid to share an opinion that you're worried will be twisted to be hateful when really you are just ignorant and curious. Yeah, I would love to tell you where I'm going to be, but I'm not going to be anywhere except hunched over my laptop, hoping that this quarantine lifts. Anyway, enough exciting. I'm not going to edit this portion, so you just get all my stuttering. Enough about me and everything that's going on in my life. Let's get to my guest this week. It's Aaron Kleiber. He is an awesome comedian. He has a brand new special out on Amazon Prime Video, Aaron Kleiber, grown-ass dad. So check that out. It's a funny special. He's a funny guy, and you know he's a funny guy and a cool guy because I fucking hate interviewing people about comedy unless they're really funny comedians because this isn't a comedian podcast. It's just a podcast that happens to be hosted by a comedian. So what was mostly supposed to be a conversation about dad life turned into a big conversation about comedy, which happens with comedians. And don't get me wrong, I love talking shop. I just don't like making that what the podcast is about. But every once in a while, there's a comedian who's super funny and has a different approach to their comedy than I do, such as a pretty clean dad comic. And so it's nice to see how things are going from their perspective in comedy. Anyway, that's enough from me. You guys enjoy this very silly, very lighthearted, fun interview with my good friend, Aaron Kleiber.
I'm sitting on my front porch right now because I'm East Coast time, and that's dinner time. And usually from dinner to bedtime, my kids are cocaine-fueled Wolverines.
Oh, so you're just, like, trying to avoid your children.
Yeah, I mean, it's not... Yeah, it's just, like, it will alleviate me, like, yelling at them like a mime. You know what I mean? Like, when you... Because this is what we do now. We Zoom, and we podcast, and we record phone calls, and this is all of our content now. So now it's just, like looking at my kids, like, over my cell phone camera, like, gritting my teeth, like, you shut...
Just making, like, neck-slicing gestures, like...
Yeah. Daddy is doing 7 minutes in front of 6 people on Zoom to make $13. Shut your mouth and go watch Disney Plus.
Daddy needs this so he doesn't burn the house down, kids.
For real, though. Hey, oh, sorry about that. Little Pennsylvania truck. Pennsylvania
Look at you. Life goes on. Somebody stop that person. They're supposed to be home. Social distancing.
I was laughing about that. Like, I was like, what? I sit on my porch a lot, okay? And every single car that goes past, I'm like, where are you going? Who are you and where are you going?
Right? I
want to stop people like the Gestapo.
And just be like, who do you think you are? You guys, by the way.
That's the best phrase ever. That is it right there. Who do you think you are? Who do you think you are? Like, it's one of the best rhetorical questions ever. I'm writing that down right now. Jokes.
I love it. You guys, by the way, I'm speaking with Aaron Kleiber, amazing comedian. We just had to, like, jump in on that story. But amazing comedian out of Pittsburgh.
I know, right?
By the way, I wonder how many people who drive by just, like, walked out of their family and were like, I just need to go for a drive.
Oh, that's me.
I just need a moment.
I go, you know what I do? I go in the morning and I take little walks. And I'm not, you know what? I don't want to give away my secrets. I think I already did on my podcast, so whatever.
Well, everyone will have to go check that out. That's so funny. How to stay sane.
Yeah, in the morning, I don't know what it is because I don't stay up late anymore. Like, I'm starting to lose that 8 p.m. adrenaline rush that comedians get. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's called you're old.
Oh, yeah, no, but you know what? It's because I'm not, I don't have to, like, stay up and, like, do stand-up.
We don't have to,
No, so now I'm, like, I'm tired at 11 and go to bed, and then I wake up at 6 a.m., like I have this inkling, like, why should I feel like I should be sitting in a McDonald's for an hour drinking black coffee?
Yeah, just staring out the window.
But no, that's what I do. I'll go for a ride and find somewhere to take a little walk and listen to some news, maybe some podcast. And you know what my spot is?
What?
Cemeteries.
Cemeteries. I guess it's
nobody.
Quiet.
Nobody, that's the thing. Nobody is there at 7 in the morning. Nobody.
I mean.
And they're open.
Except all the ghosts.
Right.
God,
it's just.
They're just open?
Yeah, they're open. They're open. You just, you walk around cemeteries, get a little speed walk going, get your calves pumping.
Speed walking around a cemetery, just like tripping on someone's grandmother?
No, there's the path. They have like little roads and circles and stuff.
So you're not, like, running your bits on any graves? Like, what do you think of this? Hey, you guys...
I should. That's funny. Because really, like, doing live stream comedy, that's pretty much how it is.
It feels the same, honestly.
It's just dead people.
Man. Have you been doing a bunch of those shows?
I've done a mixture. I did, like, a month ago myself. I just was like, let's try this. And I did like 35 minutes to my wife on the couch. And,
oh my God, your poor wife.
Yeah, she don't care. She just sits there and drinks some wine and is like, you're stupid. you're goofy as hell. Now tell them your Venmo again. I think it's the first
like,
time.
Don't forget to tell them your Venmo, honey.
I think it's the first time I ever did my wife, did a voice. That's, I don't know why it came out on here. I don't know why.
That's so funny. You never do a voice for her?
No, usually, yeah, sometimes you're like an old gypsy. No, she's not like that. that's how it sounds in my heart sometimes, but no, I never do a voice for her. I don't.
That's so funny.
But yeah, she watches and she just kind of like rolls her eyes and like also kind of plays Simpsons on her phone. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and she's like, oh God, we have got...
But,
She's We've got to get him back on stage.
No, that is true. Because I'm like running, we're running bits at the dinner table, and she's like, all right, I'm done. Like, all my kids, they're all, it's bit city at dinner time. Bit city.
That's so funny. So all your kids are funny too, obviously.
Yeah, they have all their little like moments, you know what I mean?
That's amazing.
My son is the one that this took. He had a, you know, all the kids are Zooming for school.
Oh, wow.
And yeah. Oh, yeah. They're all like, they have like 20 kids in a Zoom room. Can you listen? You think Zooming comedy or Zooming like a work meeting is bad? Try being just a teacher kids. And Zooming 20 third graders.
God, and keeping an eye on all of them.
Like,
because it's like
saying that out loud gives me anxiety.
Yeah, that is not what anyone signed up for. Yeah. Ooh. Ooh, like, and teachers already get underpaid, yeah. And now they're having to, like...
It's crazy. Yeah, learn all this technology and shit. But, yeah, so that's what they do now. But, oh, yeah. So, my son, they had a little, like, lunch with the principal on Zoom, which was kind of cute. It was, like, all the kids, like, got in front of Zoom and, like, you know, it was, like, 100 kids per half hour. It was cool. And the principal just talks to him and eats an apple. It was nice.
That's cute.
So, he was, like, asking like who knows what they want to be when they graduate, and my son said he wanted to be a comedian. I know, and I was like, "Do you see where we're at right now? Are you shitting me, dude? Like, you don't want to be a comedian? Like, what are you talking about? We have no savings, we have no money, we're panhandling on Facebook Live, you idiot!
Like, this is not what you want to do with your life. Don't be like me."
I know.
Oh my God. Well. You have to stick around. That way he doesn't become a comedian.
I know, right? I have to eat healthy just so I can stop him. It's like the reverse of Back to the Future. I have to live long enough to stop my son from being a comedian.
That's amazing.
So stupid.
I love it. Well, what? Because you're on the road a ton. You're like me. You're a road dog.
Yeah, it's weird being home, right? Like,
yeah,
it's,
constantly.
It's weird. Like, have you... Are you just even looking at the walls of your apartment like, wow, like you're taking it in even deeper? And I'm not talking about like you're so high or you're like, you know, on acid or something, but it's just like, it really like, what is it?
You've noticed the detail in literally everything.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like now I'm just like, wow, like I either love or hate this couch. Do you know what I mean? Like there's things now where like I am home enough. I was
have
talking
an opinion about,
this. About
them.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know. That sounds like really a really high thought right there, but it's not.
I get it, honestly. The things I never just, even noticed were there.
I guess it's just it's like you're living. We're living like this 9-to-5 life now. That's what I'm doing, and it's weird as shit to me.
Dude,
you know,
same. It's just and I'm
right. Like, we wake up and we do our comedy work, which basically lives online now. But it's like, I got to sit at my desk and I got to do thumbnails for YouTube. Get to work. You know what I mean?
Jeez, I know. It's like
I never did all that stuff.
No, I guess in like a way it's because, you know, everyone has been saying for years how important it is to have all that social media stuff. So in a way, maybe like forced us to get better at that aspect.
You've always been good at that. I mean, you've got, you know, good stuff, you know, podcasts and shit. And, geez, I don't know. You got, what are you, Twitch and QB? And, well, I don't know. You got all these little, I don't know.
You sound little, so old.
What? And what? You got.
Twitch and QB? You got all the interwebs.
You're on the GeoCities? But now it's like, yeah, it's like we have to do all this stuff.
Yeah, it's like I've half-assed my way through some of it, a lot of it, and now it's like, oh, everyone's doing it, so now am I no longer allowed to half-ass my way through it because there's so many more people doing it, so there's more options and more...
It is those things that, like, I don't know, you know, I don't want to bore people that listen to your podcast and aren't comedians or entertainers, but
it's
I'm
fine.
Sure, you talk about the biz enough.
Yeah. Well, and that's like, why you're on, because you're a comedian.
Yeah. Well, like, you know, it's funny how everyone's like, you got to do more content. You got to get big on TikTok and like whatever.
Fuck TikTok.
I know, right? I don't care. I'm too old for that. It's just, Even if I do post stuff, I just put like hashtag dads of TikTok and like.
I mean, like that's more than I'm doing.
But
I
people
refuse.
Lovingly like rip on me, and I'm like, that's fun.
every time I see another comedian I know post like about TikTok for the first time, I'm like, we lost another one. It's like seeing a soldier go down to me. I'm like,
oh, it's and there's we're talking. We got to talk about some of our friends. Like they're addicted to this drug, and we can't get them to stop. We're like, guys, he puts in hours a day. you know what I mean? Just staring at it all day.
Of content. Yeah,
there's some people. I'm like, guys, I love you, but like, I know you. This TikTok video took you 3 hours, and that's crazy.
It like bums me out. Yeah. Cause it's like,
I know.
Well, it's just like that someone's putting that much energy into it. Like, you know, maybe you'll go viral on TikTok or whatever. And yes, maybe there are a few people who might build an actual following from doing it, but like,
yeah,
all that for a tiny little video that also may go nowhere is like,
yeah, right.
I just,
that is crazy. Hold on. I'm speaking in post-it notes. Like I have like 10 things right now. I'm trying to wrap up, you know, like how, you know, we're doing like, oh yeah. Okay. I remember what I was going to say now. I'm brain dead right now. Oh my God.
You're doing great.
I need a nap. no, like we're doing all this content now. My friend who, you know, does like, you know, tons of YouTube stuff and, you know, do content. It's like, he's like, it took a damn pandemic for you to make a fucking video. You know
That's
what I mean?
So funny.
But it's true. But also it's like, we have time now.
Yeah.
Like, and now that I'm like, I do a daily video at noon for 5 minutes. I do a Friday night happy hour live, and I do a podcast. Now I'm down to every other week right now because I'm getting used to shit. But like I can do all that stuff now. Like, I couldn't do all that and also drive to fucking Milwaukee.
Absolutely. It's like, especially like people who are really roading it where you're like driving nonstop, which is a lot of what the both of us do. And it's like trying to balance. I mean, I just had one podcast. Then I added a second and was like, what was I thinking? And now that this has happened, I'm like, I finally have enough time to just barely keep these going diligently.
Exactly.
But I'm actually getting it done instead of being like, maybe I just won't post for like a month and a half.
Right. Yeah, no, exactly.
Fuck, and you're making a video every day. You literally just made me like, fuck, I need to start making a goddamn video every day.
Oh, well,
every week at least.
At this point, like, it's kind of like framing my day. You know what I mean? Like, I film just live every day at noon. And all I do is just come up with a topic that I can riff on. And to be honest, that's been keeping me sharp because that's how I do open mic anyway. I'm like, I'm going to do this thing about this and just riff on and just, you know, just go up and talk and see what happens. So I'm just doing that, talking to a video, you know.
It's so important because
telling everybody to be safe and be cool. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. And I'm sure people appreciate it. Everyone else has a lot of free time too. You know, there's obviously essential employees and stuff out there still, you know, thankfully working hard for us. But there's a lot of people who, you know, aren't working as much because their jobs have been shut down. So I'm sure there's so many people that are grateful for that. And then on the comedian end, it is like, we need to do stuff to keep our brain sharp because it's going to turn to mush real quick if we don't. And
that's the only reason I didn't stop doing it. Cause you're right. Like I think someone said it. I think Rogan might have said it on a podcast or something about how like a lot of comedians are going to come back real weak, like
so
real
weak.
Rusty. And I'm even thinking of, you know, even comics like us who, you know, who are professionals, we make a living, but we're not millionaires.
Yeah,
there's some of us that might not come back.
Yeah, because
like I mean, like you know, we're going day by day, but there's, you know what I mean? The threat of just talking about like those comics that are, you know, the comics that we know locally that, you know, Uber, but do comedy, like they can pay their bills a little bit. They're done. Like they have to get full-time jobs right now.
Absolutely.
Like,
and
that
I'm like,
scares me. That's, I mean, it makes me sad. That's what I mean. It makes me sad for a lot of those comics where I know when this comes back, I probably might not see him again. You know what I mean? Who knows? They might be working at the fucking bank now. You know?
Yeah, well, it's like some people might end up in careers.
Shit, that might be us.
No, I mean, truly, because it's like even the people who have the ability and once, like, you know, kind of the fog lifts would be able to start, you know, getting the wheels turning and get back out there. Are they going to have, like, you know, put a stake somewhere else in the meantime and then just go, you know, actually, like, this is secure. I'm cool.
Right.
And yeah, I'm
like,
even.
Yeah, you're right. Like, that was hard anyway.
Yeah, well, it's like, and then everyone's going through so much mentally that I'm wondering, and maybe I'm just projecting my own stuff because I'm going through a lot of my own, like, just, you know, as we all are, thinking about life and whatever.
Yeah.
But like, how many people
what's going to be the next 6 months? What, like, yeah.
And it's like, some people might be totally capable of jumping back in right where they left off and be able to start making money or start, like, getting sharp again and still go, you know, actually, like, after the last 6 months, I decided I'm okay without I don't need a crowd of 300 people to laugh for me to feel okay.
Right. Know? I mean, I do a little bit, but I get you.
No, exactly. It's like, I'm not there yet. But
yeah. Right.
I'm wondering, it's like the more time we're spending alone and doing other stuff and we don't have it, are some people just going to go, maybe I was doing this for a reason I don't need.
Right. I was telling a friend about that. Like, one of my most hilarious comedy friends, she's hilarious. I'll just leave her name out of it just for, you know, for the sake of, but you know, she was kind of like freaking out, like cabin fever, like needs to get on stage, you know?
Yeah.
And I told her, I said, look, I said, you got to get online. Like, people love you. Like people adore her. And I was like, you need to get online and just talk to people like that. They're expecting you to be who you are when you meet people. Like, you're, you know, it's that light in a room that everyone loves. And I'm like, you just need to get out there and, like, they need you. And I said that because I was like, look, because I've experienced it. Like, I kind of, like, as soon as we went into quarantine, I said I started that daily dad video thing. That was really, like, my kids got my kids were sent to school, home from school for 2 weeks. So I thought, you know what? I'll do this for 10 days while my kids are quarantined, you know, at home. Like,
yeah.
I didn't even think, like, we would be home for 8 weeks at that point. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you're going to be like, it'll just be, like, you know, a little thing for now.
Yeah, like, little 20 little bonus mini podcasts. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But you know what? And then we saw gigs being canceled. I mean, dude,
everything fell out right at the wrong moment for me. Yeah.
I had my biggest fundraiser of the year. I do every year in Ohio. Every year, a huge gala. Amazing. And then I was on tour with Harlan Williams, and like, that's holy shit. It's like 5 weeks and merch. Like,
oh, it's just so much money. Yeah. And it's
when you see a weekend canceled and then you're like, oh my gosh. But then, like, people are so awesome and they, you know, they buy stuff at shows and that adds up and you're making a living.
That's like what helps you make the living. Yeah. It's like, and that's the funny thing too, is I think from an outside perspective, you know, a lot of people see people at, you know, our level, like our class, because I feel like you and I are kind of in the same boat. And like, people who aren't in the industry, they go like, wow, you must be really, like, making money. Oh, and you're like, scraping by, but I'm doing it.
I always say that, like, we're in a position because it's like people are very surprised. Yeah, you're right. People are very surprised. They're like, wait, you make a living doing this all the time and tour all over the world?
Yeah.
And like, how are you not Jim Gaffigan? How are you not Ellen? You know what I mean?
Yeah, they're like, why haven't I heard of you?
And it's just like, you know, it takes, like, you know, we're in our first decade. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Like, we're, like, you know, it's going to take time for that. But I call it where we're at, it's comedy purgatory right now. Like, we're waiting for the Messiah, who is, you know, I don't know, a Barry Katz.
You know, like some magic industry person.
I know, right?
To reach down and grab you.
That's what it is. So, like, you know, I worry about those, you know, us. I worry about us who might even, be 300 or 400 comics in the country that, you know, you may have never heard of that tour nationally, you know, and work.
Yeah, and it's...
I'm scared for us.
Absolutely, because... not all of us can come out of this and get back to where we were, at least not right away, you know, because everything's going to have to downsize. I think Roy right. Wood Jr. was the one.
Yep.
You were telling me he said this, but yeah. Stadium comics are going to go to theaters, theater yep. comics are going to go to clubs. And you and I are like fringe club comics where it's we're getting in.
Yes. I'll tell you who we are.
Everywhere.
See, every friends and fans, every comedy club has like, let's just say they have 50 weeks a year to book comedians, right?
Yeah.
So when you're not famous and when you don't have a million followers on social media, there's usually about maybe 2 to 4 weeks at a comedy club where they want to try someone new that they really like or heard of.
Yes, that they're like, we know they may not be a big draw.
That's me and Jess and all our close friends.
Yes, we're all vying for two to four spots at each club. 100%.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. And that's the, you know, so that's hard. But yeah, you're right. When people go from downsize from arenas and theaters, I already saw it. Like some of our friends who are, you know, theater acts, I see now that they're booking 6 shows at a club and for only 100 seats. But a ticket is $60. You know what
yeah.
I mean? Well, guess like, what? I'm brushing off my, I'm dusting off my feature 20, baby. Like I'm ready to go. Like
yeah, like let me in there. Do you need an opener?
Who needs a solid road feature, y'all? Holler at your boy.
Absolutely.
Because that's what it is.
Absolutely. Well, because it's like these clubs are all have their door closed, so they're losing money. So like
I know
they're not going to be doing, at least for the foreseeable future, there will be no let's take a chance on somebody weekends. It's going to be like, no, let's get this big name in here and sell the fuck out of tickets. Like they, and it's business, you know?
I don't listen. And I don't, you know, being where we're at too, I don't ever, I'm never mad at that. Like,
because, no, it just is what it is.
Yeah, it is what it is. And plus like, I think I was saying to you the other day, like I immediately thought about all of what I call our coworkers in the clubs. Like,
yeah.
all, cause like I said, that's our people. Like, cause when we're on the road, people are like, how do you survive on the road? Like, how do you get through that? Hanging out with servers, you know, bullshit
with the
sound,
staff.
Yeah. Bullshitting with the sound person, the door people, you know, going bowling with the management, you know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Like just, you know, bullshitting with these people. Like this is us hanging out at work and, you know, all those people are out of work. That like kills me. That's one of those moments where I was like, I wish I was selling out arenas. I wish I could do something for them, you know?
Yeah, I wish there was some way for me to help all of those people who I'm so grateful for.
Yeah. And there's, just, you know what? There are a lot of people doing, I know the Comedy Store is doing dope stuff for the staff there.
Well, they're like doing fundraisers, and thank God that like they have access to these comedians who will bring in viewers who will want to donate. And not only that, but I mean, thank God for the fucking, I mean this in 100% a positive way, but the fucking ego of entertainers and especially comedians. I'm not kidding, because like at some point they just did a fundraiser and there was like, they were arguing over who was donating more. Like they wanted to be like, I donated the most. And like, and all that money goes to help the club and like potentially help people like me who are paid regulars that like are going to die.
Right, I know.
No, but like the staff and like everyone who suddenly, you know, they had this regular job that, you know, they went to every weekend.
I,
that's just ripped away for like, who knows how long.
I don't want this to sound like, you know what I mean? Whatever. You say whatever you want on your podcast.
Yeah.
No, I always say I have that gene in me that like I'm just like don't want to offend people sometimes.
I hate it. Me too, because
I'm a people pleaser.
Yeah. So
but
it's
no, I eggshells. This is so stupid. It's so stupid that I even like had to go through this to bring this up. But I always thought of like I just know so many like parents. I'm such a dad. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Like I immediately thought of like a couple of the single moms that I know. It's just like a heartstring thing for me. You know,
absolutely.
I had a single mom and like, I think of like, you know, that single mom who's a bartender at that Funny Bone. You know what I mean? I was like, oh my gosh, I love her. You know, she has a bunch of kids. Like, oh my gosh, I think about her. You know, I think about, you know, my friend at my home club who has kids, you know, single moms. And like, you know, and that's, you know, servers is a single person, single parent job, you know? And
absolutely. Well, and you think about like now because I'm just thinking about like when I served in some states, you don't even get minimum wage as a server. Right. And then a lot of what's really getting you by is the tips. And then if some of those people maybe like didn't claim all their tips or whatever, even if the government, even if like the business they're working for is paying into unemployment, they're not getting shit. You know what I mean? Like, cause you're getting a percentage of what you paid in and it's not livable. That's for sure.
So servers don't, they definitely don't get a lot of unemployment then, right?
No.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Because, I mean, they're probably making base minimum wage at most.
Wow. Yeah, that's right.
And it's
crazy. But all those people, like, and even, like, I think of people that work in the kitchen and stuff like that. And, like, you know, look, man, look, I'm going to be honest. Like, when there's like, you know, a grown man in his 40s and 50s, you know, washing dishes, he's already not had a fun decade, probably.
Yeah,
you
know it's what not I mean? Going great.
And, like, right. And I think about those people. I'm just like, man, like... Like, you know, when I complain where I'm like, oh, you know, kids, we got to cancel Hulu. You know what I mean? I'm like, like, you know what I mean? I'm thinking of some of these guys, you know, some of these people that I work with that, like, I'm like, I don't know what they're doing right now. You know, you know, without bitching and complaining about who's going to help us. But, you know, anyway, what's funny in the world today? Anyway, what else?
No, because it's like I'm looking at like how I'm getting by. And it's like,
yeah, I know.
I'm fucking scraping and I don't have kids. And then I think about. Like you, and I'm like, oh shit.
Yeah,
you have a fucking family.
Yeah, yeah, no, like I have a wife and kids. Like I'm looking at my yard. And look, let me just say, like, I know, you know, people listen to our podcast like all over the place. Don't get it twisted. Like, I don't live in LA. I don't have like some big house in LA. I know that I'm on Amazon, but I make nothing. That costs money.
You have to, I think a lot of people don't think about is that.
Yeah.
When they start buying your album or they go download your special is like so much money had to be spent up front to make it happen for any artist.
Yeah. I mean, I always say like, you know, when you own a pizza shop, you got to buy the cheese and the dough and the sauce. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah. You also have to have an oven and rent a building. Like,
yep. All that. And and then you got to hire somebody to answer the phones. And, you know, so like, you know, you don't make money doing that. And, you know, but I think I told you like, you know, about 4 or 5 years ago when we had two kids, we came out to LA for like 2 weeks and we really did the thing. Like we really were like, can we do this? Like we interviewed friends, like comedian friends, like visited their houses. Like maybe we could afford this. How much do you pay? Like, what's your gas here? Like we really were going in like visiting our friends' houses
and were you like absolutely fucking not? We cannot go there.
It was. I'm gonna be honest. So I'm gonna tell you how poor I was, you know, 4 years ago when we did this. So, because when was this? It was right before Christmas because I was at the Ontario Improv all weekend, and okay. I was headlining, so like I could bring my wife to LA.
Nice.
So yeah, we looked around and like even one of my comedian friends' wives sell real estate and like we went all in and we were looking in like Valencia and you know, and it was funny because people were like, you're looking, that's going to be like, if you have an audition, that's going to be like an hour and a half. And I was right now I'm 3,000 miles away, fucko. So
that's so, but what perspective is so funny. Yeah. Cause like,
right? I was
before
like,
before I had moved to LA, I probably would have thought the same thing. It's like, yeah, who gives a shit?
Yeah. Are you crazy? Like, you know what I mean? Like right now, I drive, you know, 8 hours to make, $500. What are you kidding me? but no, like, I mean, we're not balling is what I'm saying, you know?
Yeah. Oh, by any means.
Like, you know, so we couldn't do it because we realized for our careers, you know, and my wife, it doesn't have like, she's not a doctor. She can't just go get a $100,000 a year job in LA. You know, she's a preschool teacher. She's a preschool teacher. You know,
it's competitive market and there's like so many.
Exactly. Yes. She's going to come out and be like, ooh, $13 an hour or, you know, 10 hours a day at a preschool. And then who's taking care of my kids? You know what I mean?
Yeah. So it's like, God forbid you have to pay for that shit out here.
Ooh. So we thought, okay, if we came out and we got a 2-bedroom house in Valencia, a little 2-bedroom. I'm not even kidding. A little 2-bedroom house in Valencia. And my wife stayed at home. And I would have to make $166,000 a year.
Christ.
I know. And that might not seem a lot to some, but it's like,
God bless you if that does not seem a lot to you, by the way.
Yeah, I know.
Please take a moment to like realize that you're in a very a wonderful, blessed place, and we are happy for you. But like, be grateful.
So like, so instead, we took that same amount and got a 3,000 square foot house and 2 acres in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? Like when comedian friends are like, "Wait, you have 2 acres? What?" And so like someone was like, "You got a Dave Chappelle farm in Pennsylvania." I was like, "Yeah, dude, I do." Like,
that's so funny. Like, would love to have his career in LA.
Yeah, absolutely. I was like, "Yeah, I didn't buy a farm in Pennsylvania because I blew up and have all kinds of money. It was because I couldn't move my family to LA. Like, that's what it is." you need to
get a rustic Airstream, put it on your property, Airbnb it. And start raking in money.
Yes. I heard. I still want to put on my property. I want to put in like a dad shed.
A dad, just like an escape room for you?
Yeah, it's just going to be a big shed with a garage door. And it'll be my podcast studio. And it'll be like the dad pad. It'll be the dad shed.
I mean, and that would be dope.
Yeah, I'll run electric to it. And it'll be like away from my house. Because I have a parking lot at my house. So that's if amazing. If you look up my house, when we bought our house, it said it had parking for 10, and we were like, what? And so I legitimately have a asphalt parking lot the size of like a half of a hockey rink.
That is amazing. That's hilarious.
It's because my house used to be a huge daycare center.
Whoa.
Yeah, so like my house was built in like 1905. And it was like a single family big horse farm, horse ranch for a long time.
Oh, shit.
And yeah. And then it was like 3 apartments. And then they made it like 1 big daycare. And then they changed it into a single family home like in 2010. So that's what we got. So it's all chopped up and weird, but it's a big rad house.
That's cool, dude. I wish I could see like pictures of your house. That's fucking sick.
Oh, that's weird. I know. Yeah.
And so, very into real estate.
I know. Listen to how dad I am. People are turning this off right now. You have like, cool 22-year-old chicks from Germany listening to you that are fans of yours. And they're like, who is this fat old man?
Don't underestimate yourself. I also have a lot of fat old men listening.
So. Oh. Hey, dudes.
I go all across the spectrum. We've got young men, old men, young women. Maybe like my mom is the only old woman. I feel like older women are like, this woman needs help. But
well, yeah, that's my house because, you know, that's like, we're able to have that, you know?
Which means your kids get to have like such a nice, big space to grow up.
Well, we came from a 3-bedroom ranch with 2 kids. And like, that's why we had to move. And basically that's what we were going to get if we went to LA. And I thought, well, so it's going to be, you know, my wife and my 2 kids in this size house in LA, you know, nobody, and I'm going to be on the road even more to pay the bills.
Well, and the thing is like the caveat is I feel like it's a little bit easier, and maybe that's just something that's been repeated to me. It's a little bit easier to sustain being on the road if you live in the Midwest.
Oh, 100%. I always tell, you know, you and some like other like West Coast friends, like, you know, I probably work like 30 to 40 clubs within a 10-hour drive.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you guys, I mean, I feel like it's like LA and then you have to drive like over a mountain and 9 hours to get to anywhere else.
To get to anywhere. Yeah. Desert, most of my touring has been, I have to pack it all together. Like I like leave for the summer.
Right.
And
right.
I jam it all in. Cause it's like once I'm out there,
because unless you're in like,
stay out there.
Unless you're in Cali, like then you got to like, right, to go to like Washington, like, you know, or like you go to Portland and Seattle, like that's, what is that? Like a day, like a 12-hour drive?
Yeah. So it's like, and if you're lucky, you can get, you know, cheap flights, but like you have to, when you're making the amount of money we make, you really have to factor in what is cost efficient. Yeah. I can't fly somewhere and then be like, well, I made no money, but I got up and I did a good job. Like, people who can do that. You're like, oh, you're just independently wealthy and this is just fun for you? Okay, well, fuck you.
You know, sometimes like people say like they don't want you to break the, like they don't want you to like reveal like or break the mystique of like comedy and like going on the road and like. Yeah. And I'm like, no, I want people to know the reality of my business so that they respect and appreciate what I do.
Well, yeah, that it's like,
you know,
yeah, like, we're not doing it for money. It's like, we love this. We love being able to bring this to you because no one could keep doing it if it wasn't, you know, the thing they loved most.
I know. It's crazy. It's like, it's like the weirdest obsession that's like good.
Yeah.
It's a weird thing. It's like, you see people like that, that are like, people are like, you know, like working out and shit, you know, they love that.
Yeah.
You know, people are like shopping, but if you can like do what you love and like, you know, it's like people get paid to like play sports or like golf or like, you know, watch and critique movies. Like that's living the fucking dream.
Yeah. Right. Let me get out of your way. My roommate is coming through the window. Cause we've built a makeshift, a lounge on our roof.
Nice.
Yeah, she ordered a lounge chair, and it's just like, well, we're in California in a tiny apartment, not on a farm in Pittsburgh like you are. How can we survive? Well, yeah, I think it's important to shed that back because, you know, I don't ever want it to be lost on people.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
How much, you know, it means to us, or
I know this sounds like it sounds like we're giving like a TED talk on the comedy business.
I mean, but I'm having you on as a comedian who's a dad, so in a way we kind of
This is like a, you know,
this is a learning podcast more than a comedy one. You just happen to be a comedian guest.
Yeah, you know, I apologize for that.
I wish I had chosen something more.
Yeah, I know. You always, because you always, like, every time you do a podcast or like talk to your friend, and you know, you're like, are we gonna cut up, are we gonna be funny, like, or like, are we gonna just start talking serious, because this is like what people do, this is what we do, this is what friends do, you know, this is what comedians absolutely. Do like, and we, you know what too, it's like I was telling, oh gosh, I don't even know who I was talking to about, like, I just miss comedians, you know, I think I told you that too, like,
yeah,
and this is part of it too, us just talking about the business and like what we're doing and like, you know, like, are we doing the right thing? It's this really matters to us, believe it or not.
Yeah. And it's like so much of our life is like, I never get sick of talking about it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So it's weird to have like less, in theory, less to talk about. But even with my podcast, it was like from the beginning, I actually, when I first put my podcast out, I put it under the umbrella Society and Culture instead of comedy because I didn't want, being a comedian hosting it, and I have a lot of comedians as guests, but I also have people who just do other things that I'm curious about. I never wanted anyone to think there was a pressure to be on. Like, I was like, obviously if I have comedians on, we're going to end up laughing. They're my friends, whatever. Yeah. But that way it alleviates that fear of, you going, oh, we're doing a TED talk, because we all do that as comedians. Oh. We go like, oh, you want me to be a clown, right? And I'm having a normal conversation.
Oh, this is a Society and Culture podcast.
Yeah, a culture, a thing I completely lack, and that's where I put my podcast.
I know, me too. Let's, like, what? Like,
yeah, you're like on a farm in Pittsburgh. This is a culture podcast.
I know. I was thinking about building a cedar plant garden. I really am, though, but like, for real. But like, but it's not essential, and I don't have any money. I'll come up with ideas of shit to do at our house. Like, I'm like, oh, honey, we should put a garden in. We can eat our own vegetables. Like, we have time to do it now. And we'll build a raised garden with cedar plank boxes. And I was like, oh, cedar's like $19 a foot.
You're like, we're going to have a plywood plank garden.
I'm like, can we plant cucumbers in a plastic Glad bag with old soil in it?
Yeah, can we just use old cardboard?
Like, I'm growing vegetables in my basement like a marijuana, like...
Yeah, like a drug dealer.
Like a freaking, you know, cartel marijuana grower.
And yeah, you're like, does anyone want some parsley?
Yeah, it's, seriously, I have time, everybody.
Literally.
Literally. It's terrible.
He's got time, and now he's growing it.
I just threw out my best morning radio and got nothing. That was it. No, I'm kidding. I don't know. That's what it sounded like.
The crowd is going wild. I'm sorry. But, I should have laughed.
But listen,
I did the
comedian
thing of going, I wasn't even doing,
no, that was not jokes. But listen, so I can't build anything because I don't have any money, but that's what I was saying. Like,
sorry for laughing. I can relate to that.
No, I can't do anything. But no, I just heard it because I'm on my porch. Okay, listen carefully. Okay. So I'm getting loopy. It's like it's getting close to night time. It's like almost.
Are you getting crickets?
No. So I have a creek and like lots of trees across the road from me.
Oh, that sounds amazing.
And I've been hearing this year a woodpecker. And I would love to get the woodpecker in my yard. Okay, this sounds like a sexy.
Oh,
story.
You've gone crazy.
Oh.
You're going to be on this like psychotic madman mission to attract a woodpecker to your yard.
Hold on. There's probably 7 more minutes to this story that's going to take us deeper. So remember how I said I could not build anything? Well, I looked it up, and on Amazon, you can buy a woodpecker feeder for like $60.
No.
Or you could go through the scrap wood in my basement and build one your goddamn self because you're a man.
So you bought one?
No. Right now, my mom bought, this is so funny. Listen to this sentence. My mom bought me a gallon of linseed oil. my mom is my sponsor right now because she bought me a mic for my live streaming, and she bought me like new headphones, and she bought me linseed oil so that I could make woodpecker feeders. That's where I'm at in my life.
Wow, your mom really loves you.
Yeah. So I took scrap wood, and I have 3 woodpecker feeders almost ready to go. As soon as I get my linseed oil, I'll finish them. And I have these little cakes. They're like little square cakes that you slide in, and the woodpeckers plant themselves on the feeder, and they eat these little, they peck on these cakes and hit the wood with their beaks. And I'm going to have woodpeckers in my yard within a few weeks, and I'm pretty excited about it.
I can't wait to talk to you in a few weeks when it sounds like a construction site and you can't get them to leave. And you're like, they're keeping me up all night.
I know. And I'm standing on my porch with a bow and arrow.
Yeah. You're like shooting a shotgun at woodpeckers. And you're like,
I would shoot at them. I would.
I mean, you're in Pennsylvania. It would only be appropriate.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not very rural.
You're Pittsburgh. It's Steel Town.
Yeah, but not really anymore. We're like, Pittsburgh has become a lot like, it's like a mix. Like Pittsburgh, a lot of people say that it's like now becoming the new like Portland and Austin. And we're hip and have like distilleries and cool arts and comedy. And
that's awesome.
Yeah, and everything in Pittsburgh now is all like healthcare and tech. It's all data. I mean, we have Google and Facebook here and like Carnegie Mellon University robotics and shit. Like. This is where BattleBots was invented. Carnegie Mellon in Pittsburgh.
Wow, that is just such nerdy, a claim to fame.
Nerdy kids making robots to fight in the parking lot of their college. That's
and it so, became a big you know. Thing. What a funny that they were just like bored and like let's
like yeah, it's not the tough steel town, you know, Jack Lambert from the Steelers, you know, spitting on people anymore. It's a bunch of pussies trying to
chase down woodpeckers.
Yeah, that's me. And then there's a bunch of kids who are like, you know, creating driverless cars for Uber and Google. You know, there's like, that's what we're doing here.
That's such it somehow surprises me to know that about Pittsburgh, that it's.
I know, people don't know. People like it's funny because you're from a couple different places.
Yeah, I'm a drifter.
You have roots in Alaska, so I'm sure you've talked ad nauseum about like, you know, as soon as someone meets, like, hears you're from Alaska, they're like, do you know any Eskimos?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
You know what I mean? And, like, so when I go around, what I get is, like, well, number one is the Pittsburgh Steelers, right? Because either you love the Pittsburgh Steelers or go fuck yourself, you piece of shit. Like, yeah, that's like, literally, like, I will be, you know, at any comedy club, I tell people, don't tell them I'm from Pittsburgh. Because...
Because like, people
assume. there's going to be three Dallas Cowboy fans. They're going to be like, fuck you. And I'm like, yeah. I didn't even tell a joke yet. And you're heckling my intro.
Yeah, the city I'm from.
That's a real thing. And I get so mad.
People are ridiculous.
You're like, you're booing me because of football?
Because of a location.
Because of a location of a place where people throw balls at each other and you don't like those guys that throw balls. Like, it's the dumbest shit ever. Like, there's, like being from Pittsburgh, like, I can't say I'm from Pittsburgh, like, anywhere in New England, anywhere in Baltimore, anywhere in Ohio, Cleveland, Cincinnati, forget it, you know?
Because they're just like, boo. Oh,
and Philadelphia is the Pittsburgh-Philadelphia Flyer hockey rivalry, so that's, I guess, bad news, too.
Jesus. So you just have to be like, just never mention
so
where
stupid.
I'm from.
You're like, I'm from Narnia, bitches. That's where I'm.
I have a woodpecker farm.
Mm-hmm.
If you die in a terrible, like, woodpecker attack, I'm going to be bummed, but also
fuck,
I'm going to
yeah.
make fun of you
fuck
for the rest
yes.
of my days.
Dude, I want all the comedy clubs, I want all the improvs to use the picture of my gored out woodpecker face as a memorial.
Just holed out body? They
yes.
just pecked you to death?
Just me, the holes in my head. All over. I want
you
to
died
be on
doing what you want.
I want that picture on the digital screens at all the new clubs.
That would be amazing. You're like in
so
the
stupid.
New the improv intro video. With Todd Glass
body.
Talking over you.
Todd! Now, you see, he didn't shut the fuck up.
Yeah,
so
exactly.
Now he was gored. Yeah.
This is what happens if you don't turn off your phone.
That video they used to use, I used to know it word for word. And then
yeah.
Brewer would come on and be like, Todd, doing a show here, Todd. Thank you.
So funny.
I know every word to that. That's so funny.
I mean, it was timeless. If you guys are unfamiliar, it's the old intro video at all the improv clubs. But
so hey, yeah. So you want to start with questions or what? Like, what do you want to get
yeah.
started with?
I mean, it's a great. Yeah, let's start the podcast.
I'm like, oh my god, do you have segments? No.
No, it's very much a conversation. But I do have some
Me
like
too.
Questions based on you being like a comedy dad.
Okay.
A comedy dad. A comedian who happens to be a dad, I guess. But I know. It's very different than anything you've ever done. questions of my own, but then also like I posted
yeah.
for questions in my Facebook group and people are, you know, very curious. And
no, dude, your fans are so much fun. I will say I'm complimenting them because, you know, I guess, you know, when you see your friend also have people that support them, you're like, oh, fuck yeah. Like,
yes.
you know, like, because I'll tell you what, you really don't appreciate those people until something like now. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Like, you know, you really, you know, people see all these followers on people's pages and shit. And really, I mean, do you have 50,000 followers?
It's like, are they all actually paying attention and seeing
because,
your shit?
And it's funny because, like, at the end of the day, there's been a solid, solid, like, man, like 500 people that
mm-hmm.
just, like, wow, like, watching everything and just, like, you know, throwing a Venmo here and there. And, like, you know, it's really cool to you're like, wow, this is working. Like, people do, you know, I make people happy. It's working. You know?
Yeah. It is so funny because like the difference between, yeah, just like you're saying, it's like I have pretty decent social media numbers, but then I that's translated into a nice amount of people. Like this podcast gets really good downloads. And then I have this small handful and it's like a lot of the people on the Patreon of just
right.
almost like super fan. Like they're just
love it.
Anything
I
post, they like jump on it. They like follow the people, they ask questions, and now it's like I'm able to, since I'm able to focus more on this podcast, I've been able to interact with them more, and it's just so
I really think
that
you
people
can,
are like invested in what we do.
Oh yeah, I really think you can gauge how much people love you, that your audience loves you, by what you can give them on Patreon, and you, my friend, are reading Harry Potter. To your
Look,
Patreon
it's
fans.
Not for everyone. I will say this.
Okay.
Some of them
but
probably
that is
think that's
such
stupid.
But for people that are into it, like you are, it is like literally like someone told me, like I'm a super nerd, right?
Yeah.
And people keep telling me like I'm weird. Like I'll you know, like I wore a backwards hat and baggy jeans and fucking know every Wu-Tang lyric, but also I'm nerdy as shit. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Oh, so, I feel you.
Like, I'm into the samurai and Star Wars and, you know, but what I'm saying is, so like someone was like, you should do a podcast called Dads After Dark, where it's just,
that's so funny.
It's like you and a couple of your dad friends, basically like how, you know, Kevin Smith does like the comic book men and shit. And they were like, dude, I'm telling you, you have like 100 dude fans that seriously would listen to you laugh about Star Wars every day.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, you're probably fucking right.
Talk about things you... Yeah, well, that's... The Harry Potter thing happened because my other podcast organically just... We went that direction.
Right.
Because my other podcast, it's not interview style. It's me and Nicole Amy Schreiber. And we just were kind of like, you know what? There's so many male comics who have these podcasts where, you know, like, there's not really a format. They shoot the shit. And it's funny as fuck. And we're funny as fuck. Let's do one.
Oh, no. You and Nicole are funny as fuck.
Thank you. And it's just any comedians, you know, when like you're, when you're friends with another comedian, you get together and get going. It's like fire.
Yeah. That's what's so hard for me. Like doing my podcast, I was always a stickler for having people in the room. And I don't know if that hurt me over the years, but I mean, I still have, I mean, thousands of people listening and I'm thankful for them, you know, but I thought like people always said like, well, you know, you're friends with comedians and like, you know, some celebrity comedians and like you could have them on the podcast. And I'm like, yeah, but I don't know. Like, I'd rather be in the room with people. And like, you know, I use local comics and local friends and it's still fun to me. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And now it's weird because now it's like, now I'm calling my friends. I'm like, hey, you want a podcast? Because really, I have no choice now. So this is the format, right?
Yeah.
I
mean, so when you realize that, once you get over that hump of being afraid of it, because I never called for podcasts until this happened.
Right.
Then it's, well, if I can, you know, call this person who lives down the street to do a podcast, fuck yeah, right. I can ask my friends to do a podcast if they're on the West Coast.
Exactly. That's what I was thinking. So, and it's weird because, like, my podcast has, what, I got, like, 195 episodes. And
fuck yeah.
And so, like, it has taken, like, ebbs and flows. Like, it's, like, every 50, 60 episodes, it's, like, a different – I have to evolve the show. You know what I mean?
And that just is going to happen because we're all evolving. You know what I mean?
Life changes.
Worrying about that. Exactly.
Well, you did for like Ignorance is Bliss was just you for a while, right?
Well, then it still is. That's this one. Ignorance, that's what we're
blessed.
Doing. Yeah.
Bliss.
Hashtag blessed. I know it's wrong. And that's why you fucked it up because you said it the correct way.
I know.
But it's intentionally wrong in case I haven't made that clear to the listeners who I've told 8,000 times. Because I know there's somewhere, I know that there's a few people who just look at the title and go, this dumb bitch. And I'm like, that's the point.
I couldn't. I was picturing your like cover so I would remember which one it was. Didn't you just do it by yourself?
Yeah. Oh, no. It was never just me talking. I've done a couple solo episodes, but it was always interview style because I started, I mean, not to like go too much into who I am because this is interviews about you, but like,
I mean, people know everything. Soapbox. Like after you do so many podcasts, I forget that I've literally talked to my fans for like 100 hours. So many times.
Exactly.
And they're like, okay, Aaron, you were beat as a child. Next.
You're like, we get it. Your dad left.
I know,
move
right?
Move on.
Okay, here comes the Waffle House story again, bitch.
Boo-hoo. Oh, so yeah, exactly. And I'm just like an, it sounds so dorky. I should step up. It's just who I am. But like, I'm just like a lifelong learner. I've just always been extremely curious. And like, as a kid, it was this annoying, never stopping asking questions. Like, well, why this? How come that? Well, why is it like that? And this sort of was an outlet for me to be nosy and also and since I made the premise kind of like clear that it's going to be, you know, uncensored so I could ask the questions. Because we live in such a weird time where people get offended by things when you're not trying to offend them. And it's like, okay, maybe somebody fucked up. But like, are we going to magnify that when there's actually like dangerous people out there?
You said something that I just want to say. You know why I love and respect you is because you do say what you want. And I'm one of those people, like if people listen to my podcast, I stay away from, even on my podcast, in comedy, but even on my podcast, I stay away from politics and religion because I don't, like, look, I don't give a shit. Like, I don't, like, I mean, my job, I think, is to make people happy and laugh. So, like,
let me just not dip into the things that could make people feel, you're like, I want to stay away from all that.
Yeah, I'm just like, you know, I've always, like I said, since I was a kid, I've been a people pleaser. So I'm just like, I don't want like 40% of the room to be like, fuck that guy. Like, I don't want that. Like, I want people to be happy. I don't care, you know, like, whatever. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I do hit moments where I'm like, should I say this? And it's never a thing where I go, I don't think I've ever had a thought where I go, this is an actually, I have a belief that is negative and dangerous and could incite, you know, someone getting hurt.
Good point.
But I go, could this be misinterpreted? Or, and I've learned to, like, through doing this and sort of even, like, even making that the brand of the podcast was sort of a way to give myself the excuse to go, hey, I'm going to push that limit because that's the format. But the truth is that it's like, I think that even with heavy topics like that, or, you know, anything, you get into any of the, you know, splitting topics that people have, politics, religion, et cetera, so much of the, like, hateful side of it is more ignorance. Like, it's just like, I don't understand it. I've never met someone like that. It seems crazy to me. And I have always felt kind of embarrassed about the fact that I live on the fence about everything. Like, I've always kind of lived in this gray area of, I have a hard time firmly committing myself to, you know, either political party or.
Yeah, I get that.
Because, and I think a lot of comedians could probably agree with, like, because you, we tear things apart for a living. So you can see, you can see each side of everything. Oh, they're coming to get you. That's the PC police. Run. I'm kidding. I'm such a hack that I just.
It was City of Pittsburgh police.
That's so funny.
So it was CP police.
Well, cause it's just, I don't know. It's, if I think about something long enough and I really like try to examine any, you know, belief, I can usually at least try to, like, if I think about it too long, I start to see where like the other side is, or just that philosophical constant kind of, I've always just been and I think a lot of comedians are like this. So I don't think I'm special, but constantly questioning.
Oh yeah. I think you're right. I mean, I would say that a lot of comedians fall more center left, you know?
Yeah.
I would say. But I would say there's not a ton of, like, really, like, out there right or left comedians. There's not a lot.
Well, no, because I think it's also, it's because this thing where.
I think what you're saying is we are one of the most acute observationalists on the planet.
Yeah, so you can find flaws in everything.
Yeah, we pay attention to detail and we question things. And, like, that's why...
Go ahead, sorry.
No. I mean, that's why it's like when some comics are like super conspiracy theorists or something like that. I'm like, God, like, you got to question everything. Like, why do you believe that one insane thing? What, are you kidding me?
Yeah.
that's like believing that you're going to have a heckler at every show, dude. Stop it.
Well, and it's like the more you do that, the more it becomes kind of hard to stand firm and go, I absolutely 100% believe this. And unless you're trying to make some belief or belief system a part of your brand, people who are, you know, political comedians and they lean in and they're good at it.
Like, I give you credit because on stage you say whatever you want. You know what I mean? Like, you know, you wear everything on your sleeve, and, like, you know, comics that are, you know, political, that's their gift. You know what I mean? Like, I respect that.
Yes. Well, and I respect all different types of comedy, even the stuff where I go like, like, I've learned to acknowledge that instead of going, this person's not funny. A lot of times it's like, oh, I'm not their audience, and that's okay.
Yeah. And sometimes I feel like I'm too, like, you know, too normal. Like, I'm not this edgy. Like, look, I mean, you know, I get, you know, I mean, my comedy is like, you know, oh, well, you're like cleanish and you talk about your kids and you're like, I'm like, look, I've lived with 3 kids and a wife for 11 years. What the fuck
this
else
is
am
my
I supposed
experience.
To talk about? Yeah,
oh,
what am
absolutely.
I supposed to talk about? What am I supposed to talk about? Living in my grandma's basement, jerking off? Like, what do you want to do? You know what I mean?
You're like this is my life. Reality, losers.
Yeah, I mean, but like I'm, you know, I sometimes like I envy the comics that are, you know, writers. You know, like I watch Nate Bargatze and I'm like, what the fuck? How is he not moving? How, you know, like how is he so funny? And he's
not a household name. Is great. Yeah,
I know. And he like, but you know, I'm just his skill of like talking. Like, oh, like I have to get up there and tap dance and shit and throw water balloons, you know? Like, that's how I feel like, that's how I feel like my comedy is. You know what I mean? I'm just.
Feel like I'm a clown.
I'm just this normal style of white dad who, you know, who like, people are like, I had one of the best comments someone put on one of my Amazon clips. This dude put, he's doing a real good Gary Owen. and I take offense to that sometimes. I go, why? Because I'm a big white dude who makes black people laugh.
All right, well, if you're hearing my voice now, it's because the free hour of this episode has come to an end and you're not listening to it on Patreon, but you can hear the rest of this interview at patreon.com/ignoranceisblessed. For as little as $1 a month, you can get all the bonus content, the extra parts of interviews, as well as, you know, full interviews that I don't post anywhere but Patreon and other cool stuff. So head over to patreon.com/ignoranceisblessed. It helps me out. Help me help you learn more. We're all doing this together. If you like the podcast and you haven't subscribed already, go ahead and hit that subscribe button. Give me a rate and a review on iTunes and share it with your friends because everyone's a little bit ignorant sometimes. Big, big thank you to John, Dustin, Greg, Jean, Kathy, and Terry, exclusive members of the League of Extraordinary Idiots on Patreon. I couldn't do this without you guys. And it's literally the only income I have right now. So thank God for you. I'm fine. If you want to join the League of Extraordinary Idiots, get cool postcards from me. I'm not going to plug the Patreon again. I just plugged it at the top. You guys get it. I would love to have you. You know where else I'd love to have you? Doesn't cost you a fucking dime. Facebook. Join the Facebook group. Ignorance is #blessedidiots. Start a conversation. Post a silly photo. Just come say hi. Also come in and suggest a guest you want to hear from. That's the place I check the most. That's where I will see your suggestions. And it's where I post asking for questions of upcoming guests so you can get your specific question asked instead of wondering as you listen if I'm going to ask that question. Please keep in mind that no guest is or claims to be a representative for every person who has a similar identity. They're just one person sharing their own experience and ideas to help us get a peek at how things look from their situated position in the world. Keep giving suggestions. Keep asking questions. And I'll do the best I can to deliver what you would like. The more we ask, the more we learn, the more we know. And the more we know, the more we can look down on others who aren't as smart as we are. And isn't that the point? Thanks for still listening, and thank you for being patient with my ignorance. See you soon, idiots.